Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to your December editions of the National Treasures podcast, hosted by me.
I was thinking if we were like a real podcast, we'd have jingly music that we could do as a bed under here, but we haven't. So I'll just do it while you talk.
I could put some in. I can't. Also, if we were a real podcast, that's the kind of thing we discussed before we were recording. Rather than you, less than 10 seconds in, derail, blindside me, sideswipe. I didn't have a fucking clue what was going on.
Not that we're not a real podcast, but do you know what I mean? Like, podcasts are split into like two camps. There's the ones that are us kind of people messing about, and then there's the ones that have actual budget and a producer and somebody that like edits them to make them sound like radio or television or something.
There's also two types of podcasts where it's the messing around ones are often just people talking, and the ones with production are the ones that try and teach or impart wisdom. Somehow we're both,
while managing to be
neither.
Yeah, we're doing neither thing well. But hey, as our increasing Patreon following shows, there's a market for it, Will.
Yeah, but we're neither pulling in the big money of Joe Rogan chatting to his pals or helping the world like Greg Jenner. We're basically pissing off a few people.
Nah, I think we're close. Look, on a sliding scale of Jenner to Rogan, we're very much nearer Jenner than Rogan. We've got a new Patreon, by the way, that we should say hello and thank you to. Hello, Kevin. Thank you very much for becoming a patron. We love you.
Hi, Kevin. We do. We love you. So, for long-time listeners of the podcast, you will know that normally what we do is we split each place into four episodes. In the first episode, we go to visit a place and have a lovely day out. On the second episode, we talk to the person who has sent us there about why they love it. And the third and fourth episodes, we do a deep dive on things as voted by you, the listener. So you see, we're teaching you things like Jenner, but we chat to our friends like Rogan. But because
it's
Christmas,
and we spread misinformation about vaccines like Jenner.
You can't eat it. Someone was...
Greg Jenner does not do that, by the way. I can't. He's such a nice man. I can't sit there with that misinformation out there. He's never spread any disinformation about vaccines.
That we know of.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, because it's Christmas, we're mixing things up a bit here, like a snow globe. So the place we're going to this month is the Brighton Christmas Market, and it's a place that we are sending ourselves on. Now, because the person sending us there is us, the episode of the day out is going to be a bumper double feature, part one, part two, that'll come out in a couple of weeks nearer to Christmas. So we're doing the deep dives first, and because it's our Christmas as well as yours, we've chosen ourselves. We've not asked you anything. We've just done it. So this week, on the theme of Christmas, Laura is going to be telling me all about what, mate?
The North Pole.
The North Pole. Home of?
Not a lot. It turns
and unless
out.
Your children are listening, in which case, Santa and the elves.
Santa McClausicles, yes. Yes, I chose the North Pole for what I wanted to do a deep dive on because I assumed it would be fascinating. Well, I was wrong.
Have you researched, like, the magnetic North Pole?
No. Don't take away any of my facts, Will. That is 25% of the information.
No, yeah, it turns you learn out that.
You learn everything there is to know about the North Pole in primary school. There is nothing else.
What's very interesting here is, so for the listener, next week I will be telling you all about the origins of the song The 12 Days of Christmas. Mm-hmm. Because I thought that was interesting. Because we've chosen this ourselves.
Yeah.
Laura has looked at a featureless, cold, inhospitable tundra and gone, that'll do an hour.
Well, yeah. I thought it would be... Anyway, listen, there's some stuff and we're going to get into it, Will. So, the North Pole... Will, have you ever been there?
No.
No, me neither. I've been in the Arctic Circle.
Yes.
Long-time listeners will know the best time of my entire life was working as an elf in Finland.
You were scouted for that job, weren't you? Every year, the people go around and look for everyone who's just very, very short and offer a bit of money to go to Lapland for a while.
Yeah, unfortunately, they can never find you to ask you because you're always under a bridge scaring billy goats. Okay.
It's a great comeback. I've got nothing. You win. You win. That was superb. I have got nothing. You could, hey, Laura, you come for the king, you'd better not miss. And I missed and you smashed me. Well done. I mean, cancel the episode. It'll get no better than that.
I haven't gigged for a few days, so I'm full of zingers. But listen, we are going to the pub after this, so maybe all the zingers would just... Maybe I'll just bully you for your birthday.
No, it's my birthday.
I won't do that. Right, so the North Pole, Will. As you've alluded to, there are two North Poles. There's true North Pole, which is what we're going to be talking about, and then there's magnetic North Pole,
mm-hmm.
which we're not going to bother with because it's very boring and it's just where magnets point. And it doesn't even always stay in the same place.
When I mentioned the magnetic North Pole, you said, don't take away my facts. I've got some stuff on that. And your stuff on that was, we're not going to talk about it.
Yeah, well, just that there was one. I didn't know there were two North Poles.
What? Did you not go to school? That's like, you do that at the same time as the Tudors and, I don't know, fucking Henry VIII. That's, yeah. That is the Tudors!
Will, since I started doing my other podcast, have you learned one thing about me? And is it that science information just rinses out of my body in the same way that green apples do?
I listened to a very funny clip of your other podcast today where Ron, God love him, tried to keep the audio format going and fill the dead air that you were creating by being thick, and you just told him off for doing his job well. And I thought, God, how does she get away with this on two weekly podcasts?
I think the next
three
thing
if
now
you
is
count years and years.
You and Ron need to have a podcast that is Surviving Laura, where you and Ron just have a nice podcast where nobody's an asshole.
Ron and I will do a thing, like, one week he'll teach me about a thing, I'll go, nice one. And then next week I'll teach him about a thing and we'll go, nice one. And that'll be, the podcast's called Nice One and it's coming 2023.
The thing is, though, I feel like I'm not as much of an arsehole on our podcast because history and days out and us chatting doesn't fill me with rage like science does. Anyway.
You're a different type of asshole. You're too giddy on this one and you're too sad on that one.
Yeah, well, you're not perfect either. You're very distracted if there is any blue tack or playable things anywhere near you. Anyway, the North Pole is the most northerly point on Earth. There's no land mass at the North Pole, William. It's not like the South Pole, where it's its own continent on Antarctica. The North Pole is just basically somewhere in the sea.
Yes, correct.
Yeah, but obviously it's not quite in the sea because there's ice on it. So that's why you can go there, even though it's the sea, you can walk to it. It's on some ice. It is the ice there.
There you go, guys. Just so you know, guys, that's now two facts. One, we're not talking about the magnetic North Pole. And two, just for anyone who's not aware, there's a lot of ice at the North Pole. God, how can we continue at this breakneck pace?
All right, Will, how thick do you think the ice is?
Very. About as thick as you. I've listened to Lex Education.
That is THICC, in case you're wondering. No, in feet or metres, depending on which you prefer, how thick do you reckon the ice is?
About 2,000 metres.
You think the ice is 2,000 metres thick?
Yeah.
You're a bell end. No, it's 2 to 3 metres thick.
What? It can't be. Not all the way round.
Not wide. Thick. Like
I know
deep.
What thick means. Yeah.
You think it goes 2,000 metres into the sea?
Yeah. I thought it was massive.
No, it's like 10 feet.
No, but icebergs are massive. And they're
well,
bits of the
Arctic.
We're
not talking about icebergs.
But icebergs are bits of the Arctic that have smashed off because of methane. They're well thick. One, I don't know if you know this, famously levelled the Titanic.
Well, I'm sorry, but you're wrong. It's 2 to 3 metres or 6 to 10 feet thick. I see you
I'm
trying
calling
to Google
shenanigans.
Yeah, go on then, Google it. Google it and check, Will, if you don't believe my fucking facts. Oh, God, I hope I'm not wrong now. I hate stuff like this. Why didn't I just do something history?
Mother of God.
Am I right?
Yeah.
Yes.
I take it all back.
Thank you. Woohoo! Okay, here's my favourite thing that I found out about the North Pole, though, Will.
Yeah.
Stop just reading facts now and wait for me to tell them to you.
In Antarctica, the ice is 2,000 metres thick.
Okay, cool. Will, do you want to know my favourite fact about the North Pole?
I'd like a fact about the North Pole.
Oh, fuck off. I've given you like 10. There's no
giving
time...
me two.
There's no time zone at the North Pole, Will. You're just allowed
to
decide what time it is for yourself.
What time is it?
Well, it's whatever you want it to be.
And what do you want it to be?
Because of the sun not moving like it does everywhere else. So the sun only sets and rises once each time a year in the North Pole. So there's no like days or anything like that. So you just go there and you can just be like, well, I'm from England, so I'm going to use English. Or I'm from Florida, I'm going to use Florida time. Hello, I'm Spanish, I'll use Spanish time. You do what you like. You just decide when you get there.
Do you reckon that's the same on like Star Trek?
What, when they go to the North Pole? This
when
is
they go
off.
To space.
This episode is rough, even for us, Will. What do you mean?
In Star Trek, right, yeah, they're in space, famously.
Yeah.
Also Star Wars, a lot of the space stuff, all the spaces, and they have the day and they give the time, but like they must decide, right, now it's 9 o'clock, go.
Yeah, I guess they just have ship time.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, cool. So, the North Pole, it's much warmer than the South Pole. So, you always got colder temperatures in the Antarctic. And that is because the North Pole is a lower elevation, so the sea level is lower at the North Pole, and it's right in the middle of an ocean. And that is warmer than an ice-covered continent.
I can accept that.
Yeah. Temperatures are sort of roughly, so in summer, temperature sits at around freezing point, like around 0 degrees. Obviously, there's outliers on that. I think the highest recorded temperatures there is like something like 13 degrees. And then it drops right down in the winter, obvs.
So in the summer, it's about zero.
Yeah, I think so.
Obviously, as an average.
Yeah.
But like sometimes it's about zero around here. And I'm not warm, but I'm not, you know, I'm wearing my coat.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, we're talking like August and July. That's as warm
but
as it gets there.
But Laura, that's when I'd go. That's when I have my holidays.
Yeah. Well, it's, yeah. I don't know what that means for wind chill factor, though. I imagine that adds to it. It's changing a lot,
though. You're going
to take
some swimming trunks.
Because obviously the Arctic is warming at twice the rate of the rest of the planet, which is a real global warming issue. And that's had some interesting effects. Like, there's never really been lightning there before because of the weather systems there. But as the planet warms, they're starting to record lightning storms in the North Pole. So who bloody knows what that's going to lead to.
Can I have a guess?
Death for all of us. Anyway, let's not lean into... I don't know why I picked the North Pole. Of course, that was going to click off my climate change anxiety. Merry Christmas, everyone. So, the sea depth at the North Pole, it is about 14,000 feet deep down to the bottom of the sea there. And then the nearest landmass to the North Pole is off the coast of which country, William?
Greenland?
Yes, well done, you clever clogs. It's Kafakluban Island, and that is the closest landmass. So, let's talk about reaching the North Pole, shall we, Will?
I reckon you just get a compass, you head north.
Yeah, pretty much, depending on whether your compass is working.
But they are, just as a... Like, you don't plug them in, they just work. They're magnetic. Magnets work.
Yeah. Rebecca's having the time of her life in the background. What's she up to?
You don't believe what she's doing. She's having a meeting.
At work? Her job sounds way better than ours.
On to. Hey, my niece got me a cool
card. How is she doing
a
full-time job and she sounds like she's having more fun than this podcast we're making?
Oh, I had a great day at work today.
What did you do?
I had quite a few coffees. I had a bacon and egg sandwich for my lunch. And I brought home a slice of rhubarb and custard cake. Also, my niece got me a card that says, Uncle, have a you're turtly great. And it's got a turtle on it.
That is a very cool card.
Yeah, and then my niece just drew, she drew that picture. And then my sister tried to write to me. Yeah, well, it's just scrawling. She's one. There we go.
Well, yeah, you're really stretching out this birthday now, aren't you? So, reaching the North Pole, William. There's a lot of disputing going on about North Pole visits. So the first undisputed expedition to get to the North Pole was the airship Norge, which went over, it sort of flew over the area in 1926. 16 men were on that airship, including who?
Charles Lindbergh.
No, Amundsen.
Roald Amundsen.
That's it, yes, yes. But there were a fair few sort of abandoned or failed attempts to get there before then. So there was one that set off in 1827. So we're talking 100 years earlier. This was one of the first expeditions to set out and expressly saying, we're off to the North Pole, here we go. It was a British naval officer. His name was William Parry. And they got quite far north, but then they had to turn back. And there were quite a few ships that tried this, either turned back. Or there was this one ship that got crushed by ice.
Was it the Terror?
I don't know.
Oh, okay.
Why? What's the Terror?
The Terror and the Erebus were two ships that tried to go very, very north. I read a book about it and there's a TV show. And also, I went to the Buried Treasure Museum in Cornwall, near where our friend Mo is from. I think I read about the ship that got crushed in the ice.
Yeah. That's where I sort of... I mean, I know it's not 2,000 metres thick like you think it is, but, God, I just can't imagine ice sheets that big. It's very hard to imagine for me, the North Pole. So they got... lots of expeditions basically tried. In 1895, there were some Norwegian explorers, Nansen and Johansen. And they went for the pole. They were on board a ship called the Fram, and then that got sort of stuck in the ice, I think. So they carried on skis, and they got pretty far as well. But then, yeah, it all went a bit skippy, and they had to go back as well.
Got a bit skippy, did it, mate?
Yeah, a little bit skippy, and then they went back. There was a very fun one in 1897 where the Swedish guy, Salomon Andre, and two buddies, they tried to reach the North Pole in a hydrogen balloon.
Oh, wow.
Isn't that fun? It was called the Eagle, but it didn't quite make it. It crashed, I think. It was about 200 miles north of Kvitøya, which is right...
Sorry, mate?
Kvitøya, I think. It's got one of those O's with a line through it. How do you pronounce that?
No ghosts.
No idea, yeah. So right at the top of the Svalbard archipelago, and they managed, even though their hydrogen balloon crashed there, they managed to trek the 190-odd miles, but then when they got there, they died. So they survived 3 months after the crash, but then died. And then about 30-odd years later, they found the remains of the expedition and sort of sorted it all out. In 1909, Robert Peary, who I think was an American, he was American, he claimed to be the first person to reach the North Pole. But it's kind of disputed as to whether he did or not. He had dog sleds and support crews in like intervals. But then there's a lot of people now who are like, we're not sure you actually could have managed that. So probably you didn't.
I suppose, yeah, at that time, like you just go away for a bit and go, yeah, I did this, by the way. Big news, everyone.
Yeah, exactly. Come back looking a bit sort of screwed up and a bit...
cold.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, very cold. Oh, very white. Yes, thank you for having me. Goodbye. That kind of behaviour, you know?
Lot of snow, lot of ice.
Is there a lot of snow, though? I don't know if there is there? Or is it the Antarctic that's a desert?
The Antarctic's a desert.
I don't know if it does snow loads.
Well, I don't know at all. No. I thought the ice was 2 kilometres thick.
You did, yeah. So because it's not a landmass, it's one of those things that's kind of hard to set up permanent bases at, you know? Because you can't just stick a hut there and then man a weather station. But they have started to do that. They started investigating there for a couple of decades now. I think the Russians were the first ones to do it. They banged a like floating research station there and gathered a load of information. And then when they went to collect it, it had drifted something like 1,600 miles down towards Greenland. So it's an interesting place to try and research. But because of climate change, because of the ice melting, it's becoming a much more hotly contested place than the North Pole and the
Arctic. Pun intended.
Partly because if you can just sail through the Arctic, then you can massively decrease the cost of your shipping costs because you don't have to do the Panama Canal. And it's a lot quicker for some countries to get to each other if they can go that way. Also, something like 2/3 of the oil left in planet Earth is in the Arctic. And now that the sea ice is melting, it makes it much easier to extract it. So they're using climate change as a means to get more oil, which is really fascinating, isn't it? So, because of all this meltness, in 2000...
That's very similar to saying, like, you could be like, listen, there'll be no more murder if I just killed everyone.
Yeah, basically. Like, oh, hang on a minute, fossil fuels are melting all this ice and it's making everything unstable. Oh, but it is also making it easy to get to more fossil fuels. What's the decision? So, in 2007, because of this, because of basically... I mean, I guess if you're a world leader, you're looking at the whole of the top of the earth opening up as a transport and wealth system. And you're thinking, well, if we don't, who will? So in 2007, a Russian scientific expedition made the first ever manned descent to the ocean floor at the North Pole. So they went there and they'd been doing a big research program for a long time, but they've also planted a Russian flag in the floor of the sea where the North Pole is to try and claim Russian ownership of the sea there. The UN haven't recognized this as being Russia's property, but they have claimed it.
Okay.
And we all know flags means claims. So they went down in a couple of submersibles, and it's quite interesting, really, because it's the first time you've really had information on the ocean bed there, because a weird thing I don't really know about the proper Arctic like this is that there's not wild amounts of life there. It's not like the Antarctic. It's
cold.
Yeah, but the Antarctic's colder.
Polar bears.
Why are you saying polar bears?
There's polar bears at the North Pole.
No, there aren't.
They're in the Arctic, though, aren't they?
Yeah, but they're not at the North Pole.
What's at the North Pole?
Nothing, really. That's why this research is so shit and boring. Yeah, that's one of the things that I didn't really realise with this. Like, the North Pole, yeah, the Arctic's got, like, a, you know, decent amount of wildlife. But because of the North Pole being so sort of cold and barren and far from anything and there's no landmass and stuff, it's actually relatively empty. But, like, this trip down that the Russians did, like, someone saw, I can't remember, was it like a sea slug or a cucumber or something like that. Like, they were like, oh, there was something on the floor.
I've just realised then, after half an hour of the record and 36 years of life, when I imagine the North Pole, the Arctic, I'm just thinking of, like, North Alaska and Greenland and sort of, like, North Scandinavia, aren't I? The actual North Pole itself is rubbish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I remember when I was there in Finland, I was in Saariselkä, which is in North Finland, and we were 300 miles north of the Arctic Circle line.
Yeah.
So it's big. Like, it's not like the Arctic is just a tiny circle at the top of the world. It's massive. So you've got an awful lot of inhabited world before you're anywhere near the North Pole, like, or even off land.
There's no, like, there's no Christmas trees. There's no, there's nothing. It's an iceberg, isn't it? Yeah, it's a floating bit of ice.
Yeah, it's just sheeting ice. I thought that was the first thing I told you that you said wasn't a fact.
Yeah, but I weren't listening. I was thinking about something else.
It's just an ocean, Will. It's just an ocean.
It's just the sea.
Yeah, with a little bit of ice on the top of it.
Up until about, genuinely, 90 seconds ago, I knew that the North Pole, the Arctic, wasn't a continent like the Antarctic. But I thought it was like ice that went from the bottom of the sea all the way up, and you could go walking around on it. I've only just realised that after all the land ends, it's like one of those monk's haircuts, isn't it, basically? You know, that go like the horseshoe haircut. If your dome of your head is the Arctic Circle, all the land ends there, then you've just got water. The North Pole is just on water.
Kind of break with reality. I feel like that was the first thing I said, and you said, oh my God, you haven't even got a fact. How
but
did
I wasn't
you think
listening,
ships
you see.
Were getting through it when I was saying all that stuff about ships going through?
Well, because I knew it wasn't a landmass.
Yeah.
You know, like, I thought it was like, because you know, ships can go through countries, can't they? And, like, rivers and whatever. I thought they were, like, natural sort of wetter bits for liquid water.
It's
this has blown my mind.
Ocean. The Arctic Ocean.
I
it's
thought
just
it was
ocean.
Frozen. I thought it was frozen.
Well, it mostly is, but it's just
but, like,
sheets
all the
of
way
ice.
Down.
No, yeah. No, the whole sea isn't frozen.
Right. But that's new information to me. And that's
well,
why I thought it was
so thick.
I mean,
so you thick. Did get told
you're
it
basically
about
thinking,
half an hour ago.
Laura, I don't want to have to keep repeating this because it's a very rude thing. I wasn't listening.
Do you want me to start again and tell you?
No, I've got things to do. But okay. I get it now. It all makes sense. I'm good now. So when I have imagined these ships previously, there's all fucking mountains of ice around them that you could, you know, hammer a foundation into. I've only just realised it's more like tissue paper on a bowl of water.
Yeah, yeah. That's much more what it's like, I think.
Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah. I always assumed, like, icebergs and stuff got big because they'd crashed into each other and, like, forced the ice up and stuff and ice had collected.
That's really fucking stupid, actually.
Maybe. So, yeah, there's not loads of flora and fauna at the North Pole. The rest of the Arctic, yes, but the North Pole, not so much. So there's something like, there's 21,000 species of plants and animals that really work all across the Arctic. But the North Pole, nah, not so much. But you've got some stuff, so you've
no
got...
Arctic foxes, no polar bears, because it's just the sea.
Yeah, not that far north. You would have polar bears in the Arctic, yeah. But they wouldn't really be that far north. Because there's not enough food for them.
And also, it's just the sea.
Yeah, it's just floating icebergs.
Mainly fish in that, probably.
Yeah, you're not going to have mammals. You've got cod, shrimp, some crustaceans, and then there's the odd migrating bird that goes that way. And increasingly, there's birds because they'll follow ships. So you've got terns, fulmars, kittiwakes, and snow buntings.
This is brilliant. This has changed the way I view the world.
Well, this is quite exciting. All right. Yeah. All right, good. I'm very glad you're happy. So we've got a couple more little fun things, some fun facts about the North Pole. Do you want to hear about a Japanese adventurer?
More than your 11? No.
So in 1987, you've got a guy who owned a motorcycle shop in Tokyo, Shinji Kazama, left Canada on a motorbike, a Yamaha TW200, and headed for the North Pole. Had a team of...
Well, you've got to be careful, because it's the sea.
Well, exactly, but it's frozen, Will, so you can go on the ice.
It's 3 meters thick, which is actually very thick for what we're talking about, but not thick for what I thought earlier.
Uh-huh. And they off. So they went 1,250 miles over the sea ice. That's what sea ice means. It's ice on the sea, Will.
Yeah.
And they went all on motorbikes, but obviously because of the conditions, sometimes their top speed was 30 feet an hour. So that's about three times as fast as it is to travel on the M25. And it took 44 days to get to the North Pole. And then 5 years
later... You need good tyres, wouldn't you?
Yeah. 5 years later, he managed to do the same at the South Pole. So Shinji Kazama is the only person to have reached both poles on a motorcycle.
How would you get petrol?
There's
loads of oil there. Fine. No, it's fine. They've got loads of oil.
Just take enough with you. It's not going to catch fire, is it? And if it does, it's probably nice.
Put it on the sea.
Yeah. There's also an annual North Pole Marathon. Just when you thought marathons couldn't get horribler, you can do one at the North Pole. It's in April. It's insane. They've been doing it since 2003. It's a full marathon, 26.2. And last year it was done at minus 29 degrees C.
That's too cold. That's too cold.
Have a guess for me. The current record for the fastest time at the North Pole Marathon.
Okay.
It's held by a man, Thomas Maguire. He is Irish. How fast do you think he managed to run the marathon at the North Pole?
So what's going to happen here is it's going to be something like a week or 4 hours. 6.5 hours.
3 hours and 36 minutes.
Ridiculous.
Isn't
unbelievable.
Isn't that insane? Yeah, mad. Okay, and the final thing we're going to do before we are going to leave you lovely regular listeners and hop on a little cozy lay-by with our patrons to talk about another North Pole, we're going to quickly have a look at why is Santa connected to the North Pole. As we've just discovered with William, the North Pole actually isn't much like anything that you see in Christmas films. There aren't little huts there. There aren't reindeer grazing up there. It's just somewhere random on a load of ice in the middle of
an
ocean.
It's the middle of the sea.
Yeah, I don't know how to accurately describe well enough for the listener how much Will's demeanour has changed through this podcast. He's gone from like jokingly joining in, sitting back occasionally listening, then leaning forward to say something silly, to just like staring off in the distance like his entire perception of our planet's changed.
Well, Laura, that's exactly what's happened. Of course it's not 2,000 metres deep. It's just sheets of ice on the sea, the liquid sea.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, crazy. Okay.
Man, we're going to get some messages on this one going, are you two all right? Are you okay?
I hope we get some people going, my mind's blown. In fact, do get in touch with us at Treasures Pod on all the socials if you, like I, thought that. Please.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I'm happy to be teaching. So where does the Santa North Pole myth come from? It's a good question. Now, according to a lot of places, and specifically oceanwideexpeditions.com is where I've got this from, and I've corroborated this on a couple of other places, the person credited with creating that link is Thomas Nast, N-A-S-T, who was an American cartoonist who contributed to Harper's Weekly magazine, submitted 33 Christmas drawings between 1863 and 1886. And one of them featured a village called Santa Clausville, NP, with the NP standing for North Pole. Now, that is because at this time, so 1860s, 70s, 80s, this is when exploration and expeditions and talk about the North Pole was a big thing. A little bit like the 70s being very space, you know, everyone was crazy about space because we'd just gone there and space travel was, you know, growing. At this point, the North Pole was the in thing. So it was fashionable and people were talking about it and there were these expeditions there. And reindeer had already come up in the night before Christmas, not the tim
all through the house.
Yeah,
not a creature was stirring, not east on Dasher, on Prancer, on Donner, on Blitzen, on Cupid, on Stupid, on Lovely Little Vixen.
Yes. So reindeer were already affiliated with Father Christmas and the Father Christmas myth. And they live in the Arctic, and obviously the peak of the Arctic is the North Pole. So that's why he chose there. And then also because Christmas in America, or in a lot of states of America, and Britain and stuff, is a snowy, cold time, so it fit for that reason as well, that you could have him living in this permanent weather system that was like the weather systems that the Western countries associate with Christmas.
Here's a fun one for you, a fact for you, Laura. Did you know that snow at Christmas, yeah, it really isn't that common, is it, really?
No.
And it's never been that common. But it was common in the, like, 3 years that Dickens was writing his books about Christmas.
Oh, really?
So,
like,
yeah,
just some funny weather systems around.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it doesn't really get that cold in, well, especially in the southeast of England where we are. It doesn't really get cold until January, does it? Like, it's still not,
I mean, so
that...
I've just put a blanket around myself.
Yeah, but it's still, like, above 10 degrees C here. It's not cold, is it?
Yeah, I am in a T-shirt.
Yeah. So there you go. That's why that. And the first film that featured Santa being at the North Pole, I think, and please do let us know if I've got this wrong, but I couldn't find another one from earlier, was a 1984 film called The Night They Saved Christmas, which was a straight-to-TV drama. It's not the sexiest sounding of Christmas films. It's about an oil company who are blowing up the North Pole in search of an oil field, and they stumble across Father Christmas. There's like a dad of a family who's like, I don't know if I still want to live here, panning for oil, and the children are like, what if we blow up Santa Claus? And then it becomes a Christmas film.
Well, after what you were saying earlier about Russia and that, sounds like these days, that'd be a bloody documentary.
Hey, it sure would. So there you go. That is the North Pole. We've learned that is why Father Christmas is associated with the North Pole. And if you want to go back and see the first time Santa was pictured being at the North Pole in film, you want The Night They Saved Christmas from 1984. Hey, listeners, thanks for listening. We hope you've had a lovely, lovely time. If you're a patron, hold fire, because we are about to go and explore a second North Pole. Ooh, if you're not a patron, but you want to hear the extended versions of all of our episodes, including this one, pop to patreon.com/national treasures and just give us £5 a month and we'll give you four extra episodes of us talking a week, plus the extended version of these.
A month.
A month? Did I say week? Oh yeah, no.
I like our patrons, but I think four a week. Oh, fuck me.
You'd have to have a part-time job to even listen to it all, wouldn't you? Jeez, no. Yeah. A month. I'm so sorry. A month. Sometimes it feels like we're trying to record four a week, but it is a month. And listen, they're not regular. Sometimes we just give you four on one day because we are garbage people. But it's always done with love, and that's the main thing.
Yeah, you'd also you get access to the monthly live stream.
Yeah, that's so much fun and the nicest thing ever.
I really like that since the Patreon numbers are growing, the Discord is a very active little community now, and I really like that.
Yeah. The next live stream, by the way, is the 20th of December.
Yes. And the main flavour podcast last week was a Years and Years as a little teaser to see the kind of thing. If you listened to it and thought, yeah, I reckon they're worth a pound each, do join.
Yeah.
Anyway, goodbye.
Goodbye, listeners.
Goodbye, freeloaders.
See you next week for the 12 Days of Christmas.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns. Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.